A New Testament lesson is found in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Choosing to live by the Spirit. What exactly does that mean? There's an old phrase that I grew up with. Many, many years ago, I was taught that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Some of you may be familiar with that phrase. You probably heard it, or you probably read where it came from in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. And what that phrase means, what that scripture means, what that old saying means, is that the same God that we trusted in the past, who got us through all those hard times and all those rough times and all those challenging times in our lives, is still with us to this day and will be with us when tomorrow comes. How many of you have known that? Let me see some hands. How many of you are familiar with that? How many of you are comfortable with believing that this is how we're supposed to live our lives? Well, believe it or not, I'm going to come down here with you all because I have a confession to make. And that confession is simply this. I know that God is there. I know that God has taken care of me in the past. I know that God has led me through all the challenges and the hardships and all the stuff that I've gone through. But every once in a while, when problems come into my life in the moment, somehow my head does not remember what my heart knows. And so what ends up happening as I find myself in a place just like Abram, I feel that I have to take matters into my own hands. Have anybody ever done that? You know God is there, but for whatever reason, you feel the need to have to take things into your own hand because you don't believe that God is going to do enough, fast enough, when you want it, where you want it, and the way you want it. So just like Abram, when God gave him a personal invitation and said, Abram, come, I'm going to make a great nation of you. Trust me. Believe in me. I'm going to bless you so that you're going to be a blessing to everybody who you encounter. And so, with that promise, with that in mind, Abram packed up his family, his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and he followed God, trusting and believing that what God told him was true. Well, as he headed out into his venture, following God faithfully and blindly because God never told him where he was going to go, he found himself then in a place where, as timing would have it, in a place where famine hit the land. And as the famine hit the land, he did what most providers of families will do. He went and found a place where he knew that he could get food and water and shelter for his family. So they went to Egypt. But as they were on their way to Egypt, he got a little antsy. He got a little nervous. Even though God said, I would take care of you, he immediately turned to Sarai and he said, Sarai, you're a good-looking woman. And when we get there, there's a chance that those people in Egypt will see you, admire your beauty the way I do, and then they're going to run and tell Pharaoh, and, well, I need you to do something for me. Because, I mean, you look really good. And they're going to tell Pharaoh that there's this gorgeous woman with this guy, and I think they're going to kill me and take you. So how about you tell them that I'm your brother? This way, when we get there, they will preserve my life for your sake to keep you happy, take care of me because of you, and then we can be safe and I won't have to die. Well, my question then becomes, because you all heard how the scripture ended, why did he have to do that? Didn't he trust that God would provide for him? Didn't he trust that God would protect him? Didn't he trust that God was going to make a way for him in the midst of it all? And as I ask these questions, I find myself convicted in the same way. Because I find myself asking, when I've hit certain points in my life, wasn't God's promise to take care of me enough for me to step out on faith blindly and to do what God expected me to do? I found myself in that place where I allowed my own natural fear to overcome me, and I started making provisions for myself to preserve my own life, to preserve my own way of life. I found myself coming up with schemes and plans and ideas that I and I alone controlled. And I kind of cut God out of it. I did this at that time in my life when God spoke to my heart and said, I want you to follow me. Come into the ministry full time. I'll take care of you. That was the agreement that I had with God. And yet, as soon as I accepted that call, as soon as I stepped away from that big money, high-paying corporate job that I had, the first thing I did after I signed my call was to get a part-time job because I felt that I needed a safety net just in case things didn't work out. I didn't want to not have a foot in the working world, in the door. And as I thought about that, I realized that question that was put before Abram was a part of my life. I couldn't help but to wonder, is this what I was supposed to do? Is this my way of saying that I don't believe that God has the ability to take care of me? And yet, shouldn't God's promise have been enough for me? Shouldn't God's promise have been enough for Abraham? Instead, I found myself choosing the path of self-preservation as opposed to trusting God. What do I do?
Well, it doesn't always feel as though we have a choice, does it? I don't know if Abram, caught in the throes of fear, thought he had a choice. Saving his life from perceived danger made his deceitfulness seem acceptable to him. Lack of trusting in God may have made Duane's actions seem as though that was the only logical thing to do. In many of these situations, we may find ourselves moved to act in ways that we might not otherwise have done. The Apostle Paul calls it living by the flesh. We may justify our actions because of the results we hope to realize. We may justify or rationalize our bad behavior because we felt driven to do it. We might find ourselves saying something like, "She drove me to speak to her that way." Or, "He made me so angry I couldn't help myself." However, while it may not always feel as though we have a choice, especially when we no longer trust God's providence, the scripture reminds us that we do. In fact, the choice to live by the Spirit as opposed to the flesh is always before us on a daily basis, for we are all works in progress. Our saving grace is Jesus. In him, we have a Savior who does not leave us to wander aimlessly on this path of faith by our own. Instead, he calls us to come and to follow him. Follow him not once or twice, but daily, every single day. Follow his lead as he sought to do the will of God. Follow him as he offered mercy and showed what it meant to love justice. Follow him as he willingly gave of himself in service to others for love's sake. Christ leads us in the path we are meant to follow. He lets us know that our Creator God is loving and kind, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast mercy. We see this by Christ's words, and we also see this by his actions, especially his death on the cross. For at the lowest moment of his earthly existence, Jesus trusted God, his Father, with everything, including his Spirit. Do you remember his last words on the cross? "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," he said. Christ showed us that God is trustworthy even with our lives. That is how Christ has set us free to choose to live by the Spirit, for he has revealed to us just how good God is and in whose hands our eternity lies. Because of that, he sets us free to risk living for more than ourselves, because we are not our own. Instead, we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He sets us free to live by the Spirit, because we know that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love of God. And this gift of love, it sets us free. And it makes it possible for us to be able to choose between living a self-centered life focused on the flesh and a life-giving life centered and focused on the Spirit. The question that lies before us each and every day, each and every moment, is, are we willing to choose the Spirit? To do otherwise is to live in ways that bites and devours those around us. Self-preservation drove Abram to sacrifice Sarai and deceive Pharaoh. Self-preservation allowed him to then enjoy the privileges that came with the lie. Yet his trickery and deception caused Pharaoh and his household to be afflicted by a terrible disease. Now, what would have happened if Pharaoh had retaliated? What would have happened if they found themselves in a tit-for-tat situation, all because Abram chose to live by the flesh rather than trust in God and live by the Spirit? How often have we found ourselves in those situations, biting and devouring others with our words and by our actions, and either suffering the consequences or creating a rippling effect that hurts so many others in its wake? But Christ has set us free to choose to live in ways that ushers in the Spirit's love and peace and generosity and joy and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness. It is an individual choice, a daily choice, a choice that we are constantly confronted with, and a choice that we can make with the help of God. It is also a choice that lies before the church as well. Amazing things happen when the church chooses to live by the Spirit. That is when the church becomes the hand and feet, the heart of Christ in the communities to which they have been planted. It looks like lemonade on the lawn. It looks like River Ministry. It looks like our after-school program or our willingness to help those who are in need. It looks like the prayers we offer each other on Sundays and the welcome that we share to everyone who enters our doors on Sunday mornings. Choosing to live by the Spirit ripples blessings outward in ways that allows the love of God to be experienced and expressed beyond ourselves. That is who Christ has set us free to be. During the good and hard seasons, during times of comfort and uncertainty, may we, you and I, the Church of Jesus Christ, may we choose to live by the Spirit. And may our lives glorify God, who was with us yesterday, is with us today, and will be with us forever. Amen. Amen.